The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
I have to think that it's a special gift that God gives us in Fridays. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Friday, February 18th, 2022, Friday of the sixth week in Ordinary Time. In the Missal, it's liturgical year C, cycle 2. Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Flavian of Constantinople, the Patriarch of Constantinople, beginning in about 446, succeeding Saint Proclus. He refused to give Emperor Theodosius II a bribe, so he received hostile treatment from the imperial court. Flavian also started the condemnation of Eutyches, who began the heresy of Monophysitism. This led to his being deposed and exiled at the so-called Robber Synod at Ephesus in 449. Appealing to the Pope, Flavian was beaten so mercilessly that he was mortally wounded and died 3 days later in exile. Saint Flavian of Constantinople, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Dear Lord, I do not know what will happen to me today. I only know that nothing will happen that was not foreseen by you and directed to my greater good from all eternity. I adore your holy and unfathomable plans and submit to them with all my heart for love of you, the Pope, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. And along with Pope Francis, we pray for religious sisters and consecrated women, thanking them for their mission and their courage. May they continue to find new responses to the challenges of our times. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede. I live with students in a residence for young men, university students, who generally behave themselves well. And living with the students, I have very much in my mind and heart that I have to try to be a father to them, try to be a dad, a spiritual dad. I don't always achieve it, but I try. And as a dad, as a spiritual dad, well, I have a right to tell dad jokes. You know what dad jokes are? Jokes that are so bad that they're funny. So I tell the students my jokes and it gets them groaning and I hope they like them. So here's just a couple of my jokes. And I tell them here, Jesus, in this time of prayer with you, because with you we can also joke. Anyway, do you know why Spanish parents don't have twins? Because they only have Juan at a time. Well, actually, there was a Spanish fireman who did have twins. He called them Jose and Jose B. What's brown and sticky? A stick. Why did a man fall down a well? He didn't see that well. Please, please, don't turn off. I promise not to tell any more. Well, one more, because it's relevant to this meditation. It's all about that moment when God turned the river Nile to blood, when the Egyptians wouldn't let the Israelites go. So God turned the river Nile to blood, and the Egyptians didn't like it one bit. Why not? Because they were in denial. Denial? Get it? Denial? Never mind. Anyhow, I mention this because today's gospel is all about denial, denying oneself, renouncing oneself. Jesus, you tell us, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the word for denial is exactly the same word used when our Lord prophesied Peter's denial. You will deny me 3 times. And Peter said, I won't deny you. Well, he did. It's exactly the same word. Jesus, what is this denial you tell us about? What is this denial you want from us? Well, I think it's precisely so that we don't live in denial. It's precisely so that we face up to our bad habits, our addictions, our love of comfort. That's what you want from us, Jesus. That's what you are calling us to do, to live in the truth. People live in denial because they fail to deny themselves. They live in luxury and convince themselves that it's a need. They live in lust and try to claim it's natural. They live in selfishness and they call it a right. They live in soft and selfish comfort and justify themselves by saying everyone else is doing it. But Jesus, you're clear. To save our lives, we have to lose it. To gain this world is to lose the next one. Some self-denial is necessary to get to heaven. We have to deny ourselves so as not to deny Christ. And you tell us, Jesus, that if we do deny you, if we are ashamed of you, you will be ashamed of us in the final judgment. But how can we deny ourselves? Well, friend, let me just give you a few little tips. First of all, we can begin with our senses, the denial of our five senses. We can begin with denial of sight. I don't have to see everything, particularly if it's impure. Well, I don't need to know. I don't need to have that unhealthy curiosity that I need to know everything and see everything that's going on. There's all sorts of things I don't need to see. Touch. That's perhaps the most difficult one to talk about, but the more you think about it, the more there are numerous elements of denial. I don't have to have everything nice and soft. I don't have to have the best fabrics, the softest wool, the most expensive linen or cotton. Let's think of people living in poverty and discomfort who might have to wear very rough clothing indeed. It won't kill us to wear a Shetland pullover instead of a cashmere one, and perhaps that money we save can be given to some good charity for the poor. And then we can deny our taste. We don't always have to have the best food. We can say no to our appetites. We can eat a bit less. Or we can eat a bit slower, or more simply, we can bring the cross into every meal. And then our hearing. Again, I don't have to know everything. I don't have to listen in to the conversations of others. I don't always have to be listening to music with my headphones on. Sometimes, more than listening to music, I can take the headphones off and try to pray a little bit, talk to the Lord as I'm walking along. And then smell, again, perhaps a bit less obvious, but maybe we could deny ourselves the best perfume or smelling the best perfume. I don't have to smell that. I don't have to take in that fragrance. Or a very good sacrifice might be not to walk past the bakery, choose another route and offer this sacrifice to the Lord. But there are also a whole series of other forms of denial, which are much more interior, more linked to our mind. Curiosity, for example. We've already touched on that a little bit in some of the forms of denial linked to senses. I don't need to see. I don't need to know. I don't need to hear. I don't need to watch everything. It's striking, Jesus, that even you, in your human nature, talked of not knowing when the end of time would come. So even you, Jesus, as man, were ready not to know many things. We don't always have to check our phone. We can just wait, say a prayer. We can check it later. This can be a great sacrifice to offer to the Lord, the sacrifice of not having to know everything, denying ourselves in this aspect. A lovely story I heard was about Blessed Guadalupe Ortiz. She's the first woman member of Opus Dei to be raised to the altars. And she was very near death. She was awaiting a heart operation. And just before, the founder of Opus Dei, Saint Jose Maria, had died. But they didn't want to tell her, because they were afraid that with her weak heart, it could be the end of her. The doctors decided not to tell her, and it was all sorts of efforts to make sure she didn't know. But the flags were being flown at half-mast in the university, and she saw some half-mast flags out of the window. So she asked somebody, why these half-mast flags? And they gave an evasive answer, oh, some academic, or somebody's died, somebody important has died. And she deliberately offered up the sacrifice of not asking more. She felt, if they didn't want to tell me clearly, I don't need to know. We can offer the sacrifice, the act of self-denial, of our tongue, denying our tongue, denying our opinions. Not everybody needs to know what we think. We don't have to get in the last word. We shouldn't give our opinion unless it's for the good of others. Even less should we give our opinion to vent our spleen, to get out our irritation. Hold it back. Offer it up. Deny yourself in that aspect. We can certainly deny our impatience. Be ready to wait or to be kept waiting. Again, I don't need to know or I don't need to receive now. Let's deny ourselves that craving for the now, that need for instant gratification. Lord Jesus, help us to say no to ourselves in that way. And there we are, in our own little way, helping you to carry the cross. And in fact, through denial, our life is better. Denial makes life better. We're freer. We're less subject to our whims and our craving. But of course, we're very weak. We're children. Heavenly Father, you know how much we are children. You know how weak we are. And like children, we want it now. Now, we start complaining and we might even have a bit of a tantrum. And so, Lord God, we need your grace to be able to say no to ourselves because we're so weak. And therefore, we need to pray to God the Father to be a good father to us. You are infinitely good. Be that good father. And good fathers sometimes say no to their children for their good. Lord Jesus, help us to say no, as you denied yourself in so many ways, your thirst, your hunger, in so many ways, your own time, your leisure, you denied yourself. And Holy Spirit, work in our soul so that we have greater strength to say no to ourselves, and that we too can be good children who only want to obey the will of the Father and receive gratefully what he wants to give us in his good time. And finally, we turn to you, Mother, Holy Mother, to give us what we need, but also, as a good mother, to deny us what we don't. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. 15 past the hour on Daybreak. On a Friday, February 18th, 2022, this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's pray with the whole church now. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord.
Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands.
Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds.
Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
Today listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Massah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works.
Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us praise the Lord, in whom is all our delight.
Do not punish me.
Lord, in your anger, do not punish me.
O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not punish me, Lord, in your rage. Your arrows have sunk deep in me. Your hand has come down upon me.
Through your anger, all my body is sick. Through my sin, there is no health in my limbs. My guilt towers higher than my head. It is a weight too heavy to bear.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, in your anger, do not punish me.
Lord, you know all my longings.
Lord, you know all my longings.
My wounds are foul and festering, the result of my own folly. I am bowed and brought to my knees. I go mourning all the day long.
All my frame burns with fever. All my body is sick, spent, and utterly crushed. I cry aloud in anguish of heart.
Oh, Lord, you know all my longing. My groans are not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength is spent. The very light is gone from my eyes.
My friends avoid me like a leper. Those closest to me stand afar off. Those who plot against my life lay snares. Those who seek my ruin speak of harm, planning treachery all the day long.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, you know all my longings.
I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior.
I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior.
But I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the dumb unable to speak. I am like a man who hears nothing, in whose mouth is no defense.
I count on you, O Lord. It is you, Lord God, who will answer. I pray, do not let them mock me, those who triumph, if my foot should slip.
For I am on the point of falling, and my pain is always before me. I confess that I am guilty, and my sin fills me with dismay.
My wanton enemies are numberless, and my lying foes are many. They repay me evil for good, and attack me for seeking what is right.
O Lord, do not forsake me. My God, do not stay afar off. Make haste and come to my help. O Lord, my God, my Savior.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Do not abandon us, Lord, our God. You did not forget the broken body of your Christ, nor the mockery his love received. We, your children, are weighed down with sin. Give us the fullness of your mercy.
I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior.
My eyes keep watch for your saving help,
awaiting the word that will justify me.
From the book of Proverbs. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves the man who pursues virtue. Better a little with fear of the Lord than a great fortune with anxiety. Better a dish of herbs where love is than a fatted ox and hatred with it. The Lord overturns the house of the proud, but he preserves intact the widow's landmark. The wicked man's schemes are an abomination to the Lord, but the pure speak what is pleasing to him. The Lord is far from the wicked, but the prayer of the just he hears. The fear of the Lord is training for wisdom, and humility goes before honors. Man may make plans in his heart, but what the tongue utters is from the Lord. All the ways of a man may be pure in his own eyes, but it is the Lord who proves the spirit. Entrust your works to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. The Lord has made everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the evil day. Every proud man is an abomination to the Lord, and I assure you that he will not go unpunished. By kindness and piety, guilt is expiated, and by the fear of the Lord, man avoids evil. When the Lord is pleased with a man's ways, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Better a little with virtue than a large income with injustice. In his mind, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. He who mocks the poor blasphemes his Maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. The word of the Lord. Never forget the Lord, who led you out of Egypt,
You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him alone.
The fear of the Lord is a training in wisdom, and humility is the path to honors.
You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him alone.
From the Tractates on the First Letter of John by St. Augustine, Bishop. We have been promised that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. By these words, the tongue has done its best. Now we must apply the meditation of the heart. Although they are the words of St. John, what are they in comparison with the divine reality? And how can we, so greatly inferior to John in merit, add anything of our own? Yet we have received, as John has told us, an anointing by the Holy One, which teaches us inwardly more than our tongue can speak. Let us turn to this source of knowledge, and because at present you cannot see, make it your business to desire the divine vision. The entire life of a good Christian is in fact an exercise of holy desire. You do not yet see what you long for, but the very act of desiring prepares you so that when he comes, you may see and be utterly satisfied. Suppose you are going to fill some holder or container, and you know you will be given a large amount. Then you set about stretching your sack or wineskin or whatever it is. Why? Because you know the quantity you will have to put in it, and your eyes tell you there is not enough room. By stretching it, therefore, you increase the capacity of the sack. And this is how God deals with us. Simply by making us wait, he increases our desire, which in turn enlarges the capacity of our soul, making it able to receive what is to be given to us. So, my brethren, let us continue to desire, for we shall be filled. Take note of St. Paul, stretching, as it were, his ability to receive what is to come. Not that I have already obtained this, he said, or am made perfect. Brethren, I do not consider that I have already obtained it. We might ask him, if you've not already obtained it, what are you doing in this life? This one thing I do, answers Paul, forgetting what lies behind and stretching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the prize to which I am called in the life above. Not only did Paul say he stretched forward, he also declared that he pressed on toward a chosen goal. He realized, in fact, that he was still short of receiving what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived. Such is our Christian life. By desiring heaven, we exercise the powers of our soul. Now, this exercise will be effective only to the extent that we free ourselves from desires leading to infatuation with this world. Let me return to the example I've already used of filling an empty container. God means to fill each of you with what is good, so cast out what is bad. If he wishes to fill you with honey, and you are full of sour wine, where is the honey to go? The vessel must be emptied of its contents, and then cleansed. Yes, it must be cleansed, even if you have to work hard and scour it. It must be made fit for the new thing, whatever it may be. We may go on speaking figuratively of honey, gold, or wine, but whatever we say, we cannot express the reality we are to receive. The name of that reality is God. But who will claim that in that one syllable we utter the full expanse of our heart's desire? Therefore, whatever we say is necessarily less than the full truth. We must extend ourselves toward the measure of Christ so that when he comes, he may fill us with his presence. Then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Take delight in the Lord,
and he will give your heart's desire.
Commit your life to the Lord and trust in him,
and he will give you your heart's desire.
Let us pray. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling place pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
24 minutes before the hour on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We'll check today's gospel in just a few minutes. It's Friday, February 18th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The cross was well known as an instrument of torture. So when Jesus told his disciples that they had to deny themselves and take up their cross, it must have been a bit of a shock. Today's gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, is from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark.
Jesus called to him the multitude with his disciples. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. Daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Just about every sin that you can think of will have its root in pride. And on the other hand, just about every virtue that you can think of will have its root in humility. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 3, Ordinary Time. Humility is found at the root of every virtue and provides the support needed for living a Christian life. This is the virtue that opposes pride and the inevitable selfishness that goes with it. The self-centered man evaluates everything by the effect it will have on him personally, and this hardens into the mental attitude St. Augustine identifies as the origin of all moral deviation, self-love in contempt of God. Egocentric people simply do not know how to love. They are always out for what they can get because the only love they understand is self-love. They have no capacity for generosity or gratitude, and when they do give, it is because they calculate the giving is likely to benefit themselves in the long run. Self-interest lies behind their apparently generous action. They cannot comprehend the sort of giving that looks for nothing in return. Basically, the egotist despises everyone else. Pride is the real cause of egoism and selfishness. All wickedness has its origins in this particular vice. But self-love is one of its first products. Selfishness consists in looking at everything from the point of view of personal advantage. Pride generates an inflated idea of one's own abilities and qualities and is invariably accompanied by an inordinate desire to be the center of attention. They are two vices that often run in tandem, and between them they provide the ground for that radical disorder from which all sins spring. Because of all sin, pride is the root, and pride's beginning is man's revolt from God. How often our personal experience validates the words of St. Catherine of Siena. She tells us it is impossible for the soul to live without love, and that if it will not love God, it will necessarily love itself in the wrong way. Such love will be a graceless love, a cloud that blots out the light of reason. taking for its object only passing things and drawing from them nothing but pride and impatience. With the help of God's grace, we must be always on the alert and ready to attack pride in all its different forms. We have to watch out for signs of vanity and boastfulness, and for those useless fantasies we are prone to weave where we are at the center of everything and in command of every situation. We need to guard against being scornful of others and to avoid all scoffing and sarcasm and any tendency to judge other people adversely. We cannot be numbered among those who are forever butting into conversations, who always know best and who simply have to have the last word. Proud people are very apt to be discontented. They can talk about nothing but themselves and their own doings because there is nothing else that really interests them. We should beg God not to let us fall into this temptation. Pride is the worst sin of all and the most absurd. If with its multiple delusions it manages to get a hold, the unfortunate victim begins to build up a facade, to fill himself with emptiness, and becomes conceited like the toad in the fable, which in order to show off puffed himself up until it burst. Pride is unpleasant, even from a human point of view. The person who rates himself better than everyone and everything is constantly studying himself and looking down on other people, who in turn react by ridiculing his foolish vanity. Never allow me, Lord, to get into that disgraceful state of mind where I see neither your loving face nor the many virtues and good qualities of the people around me. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 15 minutes before the hour, let's pray. We join the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
A humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn.
A humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn. Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born. A sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart. Then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. O purify me, then I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. Burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, to save us and restore us to your friendship. Look upon our contrite heart and afflicted spirit, and heal our troubled conscience, so that in joy and strength of the Holy Spirit we may proclaim your praise and glory before all the nations.
A humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn.
Even in your anger, Lord, you will remember compassion.
Even in your anger, Lord, you will remember compassion.
O Lord, I have heard your renown and feared, O Lord, your work. In the course of the years, revive it. In the course of the years, make it known. In your wrath, remember compassion.
God comes from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Covered are the heavens with his glory, and with his praise the earth is filled.
His splendor spreads like the light. Rays shine forth from beside him, where his power is concealed. You come forth to save your people, to save your anointed one.
You tread the sea with your steeds amid the churning of the deep waters. I hear, and my body trembles. At the sound, my lips quiver.
Decay invades my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. I await the day of distress that will come upon the people who attack us.
For though the fig tree blossom not, nor fruit be on the vines, though the yield of the olive fail and the terraces produce no nourishment, though the flocks disappear from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord and exult in my saving God.
God, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet swift as those of hinds and enables me to go upon the heights.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Even in your anger, Lord, you will remember compassion.
O praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Zion, praise your God.
He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children within you. He established peace on your borders. He feeds you with the finest wheat.
He sends out his word to the earth and swiftly runs his command. He showers down snow, white as wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
He hurls down hailstones like crumbs. The waters are frozen at his touch. He sends forth his word and it melts them. At the breath of his mouth, the waters flow.
He makes his word known to Jacob, to Israel his laws and decrees. He has not dealt thus with other nations. He has not taught them his decrees.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, you established peace within the borders of Jerusalem. Give the fullness of peace now to your faithful people. May peace rule us in this life and possess us in eternal life. You are about to fill us with the best of wheat. Grant that what we see dimly now as in a mirror we may come to perceive clearly in the brightness of your truth.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. It is He who is our peace, and who made the two of us one by breaking down the barrier of hostility that kept us apart. In His own flesh, He abolished the law with its commands and precepts, to create in Himself one new man from us who had been two, and to make peace, reconciling both of us to God in one body through His cross, which put that enmity to death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord the Most High has done good things for me. In need I shall cry out to Him.
The Lord the Most High has done good things for me.
In need I shall cry out to Him. May He send His strength to rescue me.
In need I shall cry out to Him.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord the Most High has done good things for me.
In need I shall cry out to Him.
Through the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to His people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of His servant David.
Through His holy prophets, He promised of old that He would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant.
This was the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship Him without fear, holy and righteous in His sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His way, to give His people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Through the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us.
Let us pray. Let us adore Christ, who offered Himself to the Father through the Holy Spirit to cleanse us from the works of death. Let us adore Him and call upon Him with sincere hearts. In Your will is our peace, Lord.
In Your will is our peace, Lord.
From Your generosity we have received the beginning of this day.
Grant us also the beginning of new life.
In Your will is our peace, Lord.
You created all things, and now You provide for their growth.
May we always perceive Your handiwork in creation.
In Your will is our peace, Lord.
With Your own blood, You ratified the new and eternal covenant.
May we remain faithful to that covenant by following Your precepts.
In Your will is our peace, Lord.
On the cross, blood and water flowed from Your side.
May this saving stream wash away our sins and gladden the city of God.
In Your will is our peace, Lord.
Let us make our prayers and praise complete by offering the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
All-powerful Father, as now we bring you our songs of praise, so may we sing your goodness in the company of your saints forever. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
Morning Air is coming up next. I'm Paul Sadek. See you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central or on the app. Go out, make this a great day and a great and holy weekend upcoming, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.